shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord for a moment. We are in the house of God. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here. And he's come to do mighty things. He's been doing mighty things. I believe the Lord has already healed some people. Oh, he's spoken to somebody already. Woo! Let's worship him. Come on, let's just get beside ourselves for a moment. Let's praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're holy, Jesus. You're holy, Lord. You're mighty. You're righteous. You're all-powerful. You're all-knowing. You are my God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Praise be to the name of our God. Is anybody excited about being in the house of God? Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's just something about coming to the house of God. You can't feel this when you go to the supermarket. No, not when you go to school. This is the only place where you can shout with the voice of triumph. Come on, let's take advantage of that. Let's shout unto God. Woo! We praise your name. We lift you up. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful move of God we're feeling here today. You may be seated for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. It's a great honor to be here in my home church. Thank you, Pastor Kyle. Thank you, Tabernacle of Pentecost. I'm so blessed to be from this church. This is an awesome church. Amen? If you didn't realize that, I'm telling you it's an awesome church. Go find somebody and tell them how awesome it is and bring them to the house of God. Amen? Praise God. Thank you. This is my family, my church family. This is where my mom and my sister and my little brother goes to church. Pray for my brother. Amen? Praise be to God. I just wanted to come home and just say thank you. And I just wanted to say something. I've been on the mission field for 9 years. I was appointed last year as full-time missionary in General Conference. This church has supported me the whole time ever since the Lord called me to be a missionary. And I just wanted to say thank you to my pastor, Pastor Kyle. Not, amen? Just give Pastor Kyle a hand clap. Brother Sapp. Been the youth pastor that has mentored me, all of the ministry of our church. I am very grateful, but I just want to say, Pastor Kyle is not any old pastor. Amen? Because when somebody has a call from God, you need a man of God to direct you and to lead you and to help you to get to where God has called you to be. And not only do I have that, but all of the young people, everybody in this church that has a call of God has this pastor that will help you to get to where God wants you to be. And that's the greatest testimony any pastor could have, that, you know, he leads you into the paths of the Lord. And I just wanted to say thank you, Pastor Kyle, because if it wasn't for my pastor, I wouldn't be standing here preaching the word or going over all over Florida, all over the states. I went to New York this year. And, you know, being in Spain, preaching the word of God, I am very grateful to my pastor, to his family, to this church. Thank you so much. I can't begin to say thank you enough. I just wanted to say that. Without you, I would not be on the mission field, literally. Amen? Praise God. Praise be to God. Okay, so I have a presentation that I'm going to give every time I make a new one so you can see what's going on in the year. So we're going to go ahead and look at the presentation right now. Praise God. Oh, good. It's a video presentation of what's been going on. Let's see. The Kingdom of Spain. Oh, el Reino de España. Spain is in Europe to the north. Is France, to the south is Africa, and to the west we have the country of Portugal. It has 194 Point at 194,884 square miles. It's not that big. It's the size of Texas. And we have 46 million people that we're trying to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They speak Spanish. That's where the Spanish language comes from. All the people that you know that are speaking Spanish is because they came over to the New World, starting with Christopher Columbus, and they preached their gospel of Catholicism, and they brought their language, and it stayed here. So that's why America is growing in the Spanish population as well. It's because of Spain. So Spain is 99% Roman Catholic. Spain is more Catholic than Rome, because Rome didn't send all those missionaries all over the world, and their people are not speaking Italian. They're speaking Spanish. Amen? So it's a great thing that the Lord has done when he's called us to go back to Spain and to preach the gospel to them so they can know who Jesus is. So they can know that there is one God, that his name is Jesus. They can repent. They can be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. And they can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's a great thing that we are there and we're working hard from the capital city of Madrid, going all across the country. When the missionaries, Brother Stones, first went, we had only two churches, and we're up to 46 churches. God has been doing great things. Amen? When I went there, there was only 23 churches, and there's 46. God's doing awesome things. They had 70 members to begin with, and now we have over 5,000 people that are speaking in tongues, that are, have the power of the Holy Ghost. This year, 537 people got baptized in the name of Jesus. 582 people received the gift of the Holy Ghost. God is giving us revival. Praise God. We started a singles ministry this year just to reach out to all of a huge percentage of the population in Madrid and in the country. They're singles and they're not being reached. So we started, and you know what the Lord did in the first meeting? They brought this girl that came from the hospital. The doctor sent her home and she was still sick. She came in and she's like, I need a bed. And we just laid hands on her and we prayed for her in Jesus' name. And the Lord healed her body, took away the pain, and she was just there having a good time. The picture that you just saw, that young man, his name is Johnson. He's from Liberia. We have an English work in Madrid that I'm also helping to coordinate. And we gave him a Bible study. And right there in the Bible study, the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. So what happened was he said, I want to get baptized in Jesus' name right now. It was Friday evening, and we don't have the baptismal doesn't have like the cool heating that you do here. We just pour the hot water in. Well, the water was cold, so that's why you saw those young men from the Bible school with these big pots. They had boiled the water on the stove, and they were pouring it in the baptismal so that he could be baptized in a little, you know, a better temperature water. So God's doing great things. We have Bible school. Last year you helped us pray that we would get the building. We got the building. They've studied. 32 students graduated. Two of them already started churches. Praise be to God. We're equipping men and women to preach the word of God, to infiltrate the whole country with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're already doing it. They just graduated a month ago, and we have two churches started by two of those students. And that's just the beginning. That we have a 9-month program, and this year we're going to take in more students from all over the country, and we're just going to produce preachers like crazy because we have a whole country to reach. Praise be to Jesus. Praise be to God. The Lord's giving us revival even among the pastors. Even among the leaders, the churches that we've started and the pastors that we've sent out, they're starting churches as well. And the Lord's just doing a mighty work. They came together in June to have a leadership seminar, and the Lord just blessed tremendously. Among the young people, we're seeing great revival. many of them being baptized in the name of Jesus. And the greatest thing of all is that they're the ones that are signing up for Bible school. They're the ones that are going out in their cities and teaching Bible studies to the people that they know, to the people that they don't know. They're just finding people, and they're just teaching the Word of God, and we're seeing a tremendous growth. They're the ones that are leading the cell groups, the home fellowship groups, and preaching to family and friends, and friends of family and friends, and we're just seeing revival. The young man that you see jumping, his name is Esteban. He has a great testimony. You might not know him, but the Lord raised him from the dead. He graduated from the Bible school. He's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might not know Maria, that's right there, but she's your sister in the Lord. She prays for people and see God heals them. She goes to the hospitals and show them that there's a God that works in the miraculous. There's a God that does awesome and great things. And among the children, we're seeing great revival. I had to bring this video and show it to you what's going on. The children are the future of the work of God. And this, I had a chance in July to go to Valencia, just before I came here, a city called Valencia in the south of Spain. And these children, Sister Lady had a, she had a vacation Bible school, and she taught the kids about the Word of God all week long. And she told me that by Thursday, they were all sitting down on the ground, and they were crying, and they were saying, I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Spirit of God. I want God to touch my life. So by Saturday, when I got there, oh, they invited me to come in and preach to the children. Praise God. And oh, I started to tell them about that rushing mighty wind that blew on the day of Pentecost and how the Holy Ghost swept across that place and filled them, and they began to speak in other tongues. And those children came to the altar, and this is what you're looking at right now. They came to the altar, and they started pouring out their hearts to God, their little hearts. They, some of them were this high. Oh, but they started speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. There were 10 children lined up in that altar speaking in other tongues. 7 of them had never spoken in tongues before in their life, but God sealed them with the power of the Holy Ghost. God sealed them with the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, what was hid, oh, from the wise and from the prudent, he will reveal to the babes. And that revelation that those kids got is that the presence of God is the most important thing. The power of God to change my life, there's nothing like it. They were hungry and thirsty for the presence of God. Let's stand to our feet and let's praise God for what he's done. You know, these children didn't stop. They kept on praising God. They kept on worshiping. They spoke in tongues for over 40 minutes. They're little kids. Kids don't have that kind of attention span. But when Jesus gets your attention, it's a whole nother thing. Oh, let's praise God for what he's doing among the children in the country of Spain. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we lift you up. Praise be to God. What a mighty move of God. I'm telling you, they kept on praying. They kept on speaking in tongues. They didn't want to stop. Praise God. Praise God. Our God is awesome. Praise be to Jesus. While you're standing, I want you to go to the Word of God. We're going to go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 21. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 28, Luke 21, verse 28. Is anybody excited about what God's doing in Spain? I'm excited about what God's doing here too. There's so many faces that I've never seen before, and the last time I was here was a year ago. So God's doing a great work right here among us. Praise be to God. Luke 21, verse 28. And it says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let's pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. We have opened your word, God. We want you to speak to us today in the name of Jesus Christ. Convict us with your word. Challenge us with your word. Inspire us with your word. Move across this place with your anointing and your power. And minister to our hearts. Encourage us. Lift us up. Dear God, with your word we pray. In the mighty, all-powerful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody say in Jesus' name, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. So we've read this scripture before in Luke 21, where the Lord tells them when things are going, have gone, you know, he described in the context of the scripture. It consists of Jesus talking to his disciples and telling them of the destruction and the turmoil and the things that were to come and how they should react to these situations. There was to come false prophets, wars, commotions, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, signs from heaven, persecutions because of his name, betrayals, death. Look at your neighbor and said, bad stuff. All kinds of things the Lord was telling them that would happen. And I know that some people are going through some pretty rough stuff right now. And so the Lord has come to tell us, just like he was talking to disciples that day, that, you know, redemption time is coming. That's what we just read. Redemption time is coming. Let me read it again, Luke 21, 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. Tell your neighbor, look up. Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. So he told them that when everything seems to be going wrong, look up. Look up. For your redemption is coming. Tell your neighbor, look up. Because your redemption is coming. Look up. Because your redemption is coming. The Lord wants to talk to somebody today who seems to be experiencing turmoil. Oh, hallelujah. Someone who feels like they're all the way down. Like, you know, you're down in the pit, and there you can't see anything else. It's just a rough time. Someone who's just had a rough time. Everything has gone wrong. It can't be or get any worse. Someone who's suffered great loss. Someone who can't understand what's happening, what's going on. Tell me what's going on. Everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. God's talking to you today, and he's telling you redemption time is coming. Look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draw nigh. You might feel like, what's next? What do I do? Where do I go from here? Oh, look up. Look up. Look up. What's up? God's up. Look up. That's what's up. Jesus Christ is up. Look up. Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh. Woo! Jesus. Jesus. Now, courtesy of Merriam-Webster, the definition of redemption, the act or process or an instance of redeeming. So what's redeeming? Redeem, to buy back, repurchase, to get or to win back, to free from what distresses or harms, as to free from captivity by payment of ransom, to extricate from or help to overcome something detrimental, to release from blame or debt, clear, to free from the consequences of sin, to change for the better. I said to change for the better, to reform, to repair, to restore, to free from a lien by payment of amount secured thereby, to remove the obligation of by payment, to exchange for something of value. Oh, to free, to make good, to fulfill, to atone for, expiate, redeem an error, to offset bad effects, to make worthwhile, to retrieve. Oh, God's talking to somebody today, and he's telling you, look up, your redemption draws nigh. So the question is anything bad happening? Because when you think all is lost, that's when you've got to look up. If everything's going right, he didn't say if everything's going right, look up. He said when everything's going bad, lift up your head. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. This means that when you can't get any worse, it's going to get better. This is the word of God. It's the principle of God. Oh! Words like restore, cash in, can be used to define redemption. It's all positive. It's all good things. It's recovering lost ground. Are you going through it? Have you lost anything? Look up. Woo! Redemption is near. That redemption that we just defined, that change for the better, that reform, that repair, that restoration. Hallelujah. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. Payback time is coming. Don't worry. Hold on. It gets better when redemption time comes around. So he said, when you see all of this stuff happening, just lift up your head. Just look up, because it's going to get better. Redemption time is coming. An article in the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible titled Redeemer, Redemption, gives some background on Old Testament redemption. It was interesting to see that definition. It says, it often involves the idea of restoration to one who possesses a more fundamental right or interest. A fundamental right or interest. A basic right or interest. As children and servants of the Lord, it is our right and interest to have the joy of the Lord, to have every property, every safety, every blessing, all of the things, all to possess every promise that God has promised us. It's our right, and redemption time is coming. So whatever is lost will be redeemed. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Oh, anything that tries to stop us from getting what God has for us will not prosper, because we are his servants, because we are his children, because this is our heritage. So I say, look up, because redemption is coming. The article goes on to say, the word redemption was used also of the release of persons from slavery. Do you feel bound by something? Look up. Look up. Lift up your head, because it's going to get better. Your redemption will come. It also goes on to say that the word redemption was used of the recovery of property which had been passed into other hands. God can still do a work here in the property. Look up. It seems like all is lost, but redemption time is coming. It seems like it can't get any worse, but redemption time is coming. God's come to tell you, look up. Look up, Pastor Guy. Look up. Look up, brothers and sisters. Look up. God can still bring it back. That's what it said. Oh, it's all explained in Exodus chapter 1 and Leviticus chapter 25. You can read about it. it. Oh, hallelujah. Another article from the same source titled Redemption of Land says the legal process by which land was kept in a family, the Hebrew term, is to pay back or to avenge. Technically, all land in Israel which had been sold reverted to the original family during the Jubilee year. Hallelujah. I don't know, but when the Lord said redemption draws nigh, he's talking about a year of Jubilee when everything's got to go back to where it belongs. Praise be to God. I'm here to tell you that Jubilee is coming. That year of Jubilee is coming. Hallelujah. 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 It says Leviticus 25 provides that the person himself or his next of kin may buy the land back before the Jubilee. However, if you can't wait, if you can't pay for it before Jubilee, just look up, because Jubilee is coming. Redemption time is coming. If you can't do anything, oh, Jubilee is 50 years. If you can't wait till Jubilee to redeem, you can buy it. That's what it was saying. You can buy it if you're next of kin. But don't worry. Just wait. Redemption time is coming. Jubilee is coming. What the enemy has stolen from you, you'll get it back. This is the word of the Lord for somebody today. Jubilee is coming. Redemption is coming. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, look at the story of Job if you don't believe what I'm saying. Look at the story of Job. We're talking about everything that could go wrong going wrong. He went through a rough time. We still, no matter what we go through, we still can't compare to what Job went through. I think the Lord put it there so when we're like all bent out of shape, we can open up the book of Job and say, man, I don't have it half as bad. Amen? Praise God. So Job, he went through a rough time. He stayed faithful, but he still didn't look at things the way they should be looked at right away. Yes, I love God. Yes, he's for me, but I'm not really happy about what's going on right now. Does anybody feel like that? That's how Job felt. He said it in chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. He said, let the day perish wherein I was born. It's verse 3. And the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. It got worse. He was so sad. Like some people feel, like we feel, we're humans, when we go through stuff, when it seems like all is lost, when there seems like there is no hope, when we forget about the scripture that said, lift up your head when it's going bad. It got worse for Job. He was having one of those moments. In chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, he started to say, when verse 2, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. He was not having a good time. Like some people, like some of us, when we're going through it, he had the right to be sad and to complain. He lost everything. Oh, but he finally looked up. God started talking to him and reminding him who he was. Sometimes we just get to that point, but we can't get that way. We have to still look up. God started talking to him in chapter 38, because the whole book in chapter 38, verse 1 through 5, it said, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? What are you complaining about? What are you so sad about? Don't you understand that I'm God? He said in verse 3, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. He's like, stand up. If you want to complain, if you want to forget who I am, stand up like a man and answer me these questions. He said, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Have you forgotten who I am? You're talking to the man that laid the foundations of the earth. You're talking to an all-powerful God. Don't you forget how powerful I am. Don't you forget who I am. Woo! Declare if thou hast understanding. If you know what you're talking about, tell me where you were. Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? That's what the Lord's telling you. Do you understand who I am? Sometimes we let our very horrible situation get a hold of us, and we forget how powerful the God that we serve really is. But he wants to talk to you today, and he wants to tell you, look up, lift up your head, because redemption draws nigh, because it's going to get better. That's just the way it is. It's going to get better. Oh, that's the word of the Lord for somebody. Woo! When Job heard those things from the Lord, by chapter 42, verse 1, he said, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. So maybe you weren't thinking like Job, but now is the time to say, God, I didn't understand, but now I understand. My redemption is coming. Now I'm going to stand on your word. My redemption is coming. He finally looked up. He finally looked to God. And when he did, he received his redemption. He got it all back. And then some, and a whole lot more. He got it all back. Job 42, verse 13. Can you put that one up for me? I didn't get to write it down. Job 42, verse 13. And it said, and he had also seven sons and three daughters. Verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. And verse 13, hallelujah, he had also seven sons and three daughters. And verse 14, and he called their name, the names of the first, Jemima, and the name of the second, Keziah, and the name of the third. He was just making up all these names. He was so blessed, he didn't know what to do. His redemption came. He had so many kids, he was running out of names. I see some of those names. He must have run out of names. That's what happens when redemption time comes. That's why I'm telling you to look up. That's why I'm telling you to look up. Because redemption is coming. That's what Jesus Christ is trying to tell you today. It looks like all is lost. It looks like it can't get any better. Oh, but redemption time is coming. Now, don't be like Eli. Eli didn't look up. He lost everything. He didn't bother to teach his kids how important the practices of God were. They just did whatever they wanted to do, and he lost his ability to redeem anything. Don't be like Eli. Look up. Don't choose to look at your situation and not look at God. Look up. Lift up your head. Don't be like him. When God spoke to Samuel, he prophesied that Eli would die and lose everything. 1 Samuel 3:13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. If your kids are going astray, look up. Redemption is coming. Don't look to the kids. Look to God. Teach your kids in the way that they should go. And if something goes wrong, look up. Don't look at them. Don't look at the situation. Look at God. Because the only one that can do anything about it is the Lord God Almighty. Don't be like Eli. He didn't look up, and oh, he lost everything. You read about it in 1 Samuel. Oh, he was sitting down by the gate. He was so shocked by the news, he fell over and broke his neck. The presence of God was taken away from Israel because he didn't know how to look up. Look up so the presence of God can stay with you. Look up so your family can be blessed. Look up. Lift up your head. Redemption is coming. Praise God. And then we look at Joseph. Oof. Joseph, what did he not go through? Are you going through something? Joseph went through a lot. He went through so much. He dreamed and his brothers turned on him. They threw him in a pit. Talk about being in a pit. The only way to look when you're in a pit is up, because that's where the light is. Amen? Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. They sold him. Potiphar's wife, she tried to seduce him, and then she got him thrown into jail. He went to jail, and he interpreted some dreams and told them to remember him. When they got out, and they forgot about him. Talk about having a bad time. And then they finally remembered him, and that, you know, another dream was there, and that's when the Lord, his redemption started coming. He went through a whole lot, but that's what the Lord's telling you. You're going through a whole lot, but don't worry too much about it, because redemption is coming. That's what God's trying to tell you. He got his redemption. His day came. He got his jubilee. He suffered. He was in a pit, in dark places, in many horrible situations, but he knew how to look up, and he got his jubilee. His redemption time came. Oh, he became ruler over all of that country of Egypt. Oh, his brothers bowed down to him. Oh, he was ruler. He advised the Pharaoh. He became mighty. Genesis 41. It was amazing. If you just look up, even when it seems like all is lost, redemption will come. You know, it might take a long time. You know, when Joseph had his dream, he was 17. By the time he sat up there as a ruler, he was 30. That was 13 years that went by. It might take a while. Jubilee are 50 years. But you know what? Don't get upset. Don't get all bent out of shape. Don't get sad. Don't walk around with your head down, because the Lord has come to tell you, when you see these things, these horrible things, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, in Spain, many years ago, before I got there, the people that were there in the beginning, they tell me this story about how they were having church in this little place. We call it the upper room, because you have to go up the stairs and it's just room. And that's where we had church. And because it was there in the upper room, we had some neighbors, and they started complaining. And they complained constantly about the noise. They closed up the place. They tried to do everything, but they just didn't want them there. The devil didn't want them there. So it just got worse. The police would come every service. Some of the people didn't have their documentation. Some people can relate. And they were hiding and they were praying. These people were prayed up because they didn't know what was going to happen. And you know what? The police kept coming till one day they said, shut it down. You're not having any more church in this place. Shut it down. I mean, what? How? You know, can it get any worse? You're there, you're a missionary, you're trying to start a church, and you're there, and you get up to a certain amount of people, and then they tell you to shut it down, and that's all you had? But you know what? I believe that the Lord was telling them that day, don't worry, just look up, because redemption time is coming. And you've seen what the redemption is right there. But you know what? Just an instant redemption moment that happened there was that they started having little cell groups, because, you know, they just had to meet in the homes. Well, cell groups are so effective because that's what they did in the book of Acts. They went from house to house. So the devil didn't realize that he was sending them to the book of Acts church. Amen? Praise God. And so they just started having little small groups. And before you know it, each house was full. When they got back together, the church was doubled. God's telling us that we need to look up because redemption time is coming. So, brothers and sisters, you may stand up. As you go through it, all I want you to do is to think. Just get this thought in your mind. That when this is over, I'm going to have my jubilee. I'm going to really be victorious. That's what I want you to think about. You might be going through a hard time right now. But you know what? Your redemption is coming. And it's going to get better. It got better for Job. It got better for Joseph. It got better for that church, our church in Madrid. It got real better. You saw there was 600 people just at the youth convention. God's doing a mighty work. You just hold on. Proverbs 8:28. If you could help me with that one. When he established the clouds. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's what he's talking about when he said that redemption time is coming. You know, we're told that if everything's going bad and if it's gotten to the worst, then it's over. That's it. But God wants us to know that redemption time is coming. Let's raise our hands and let's worship the Lord. Let's talk to him and let's just shout. Let's just shout to God. Let's just shout to God. Let's just worship him for the jubilee. Let's just brave and praise him for what's going to happen. Because it might look horrible. It might look bad right now. But redemption is coming. Because all things work together for good to them that love God. All things. Hallelujah. All things work together for good to them that love God. This might be your first time in the house of God, and God talked to you today. You might be here because everything is lost, because things are just not going right, because you just don't feel good. Maybe you've never given your life to God, but you know what? That's the key for you to have your redemption. As a matter of fact, one of the definitions of redemption is for God to redeem our souls. So you know what? If you're here and you've never turned your life over to God, I want you to come down to this altar. If you've never spoken in tongues, I want you to come down to this altar. Because you know what? It's your redemption time. You've gone through a lot, but today you came to the house of God. It might seem that all was lost, but the devil messed up today because you came to the house of God. If you know somebody that needs the Holy Ghost, I want you to escort them down to the altar. Come on. The Lord wants to bless somebody. The Lord wants to fill somebody. Redemption time, it's come. Oh, hallelujah. And maybe you've been going through a hard time. Maybe everything's been lost. I want you to come. And I want you to come with joy in your heart. Because it's not time to look at the sadness. It's not time to look at how horrible the situation is. It's time to look up. So we need to worship God. We need to praise God. For redemption is come. Come on up to this altar. If you need the Holy Ghost, the Lord's giving it away. Come on. Get some redemption. Come on. If you're going through it bad, I want you to come to this altar.
Be sorry.